I'm Julie Bullitt. I've been a family therapist for over 30 years.
I'm David Bullitt. I've been a divorce and family lawyer for more than 35 years.
Together, we have been married for more than 37 years.
In our professional practices, the two of us have been witnesses to individuals and families struggling with life's most difficult challenges. In this podcast, we will talk about the conversations we have had,
the conversations we should have had,
and those that every relationship needs to have in order to find success, happiness, and fulfillment.
This is Conversations for Couples,
the podcast. So for you folks out there who have read it, we have our first guests from our book that came out last summer, Secrets of Strong Couples. I don't remember the chapter number exactly. We're going to find out, and we're going to talk about that a little bit. But we're really excited to have Linda and Tommy Cressman here tonight. Well, now, you didn't use those names in the book.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. They had different names.
Now we're going to be who you really are.
Yes, yes, we are Carly and Holden.
Carly and Holden, I like Carly and Holden. We liked Carly and Holden very much.
Yeah.
So we want to spend some time talking about not just we don't want to rehash what we talked about when during the interview, but we do want to sort of delve in a little bit to some of what we did talk about. Maybe talk about a few other things. So how are you guys doing tonight?
We're good.
We're good. Very happy to be here. Really, really excited. So thank you guys so much.
Thank you guys so much for agreeing to come on and also, you know, not feel uncomfortable about being anonymous, like, you know, coming out as your full self. So we appreciate you being here.
Yes.
Your chapter that I do remember was Finding Trust and Learning to Forgive. So that's where we're going to sort of jump into that. Okay. So, but let's give a little bit of background for folks who didn't read the book. And there's a lot of them out there, by the way, who didn't, you know, before the two, when did the two of you get married?
2 years ago. Right. We got officially married, I guess. Well,
so August 8th,
5 years.
Yeah. August 8th of 2018. He's talking about when I legally took his last name finally. But we've been married since August 18 of 2018.
2018. So 5 years or so ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, but you've been together a long time.
Right.
Off and on.
How long have we been? About 13 now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, and before you were married, both of you had some stuff going on in your lives, right? Mm-hmm. So let's start with you. You know, beauty before age, maybe, if I'm not sure. But certainly beauty. Go ahead, Linda.
I think that I had a peculiar upbringing. I don't pretend to have had as much going on in the way that Tommy did. I definitely, I was brought up to be a performer. So I was often with people I shouldn't have been with and traveling to places I shouldn't have been traveling to by myself. I didn't have a regular school upbringing. I was homeschooled. And sometimes my homework was not as much of a priority as it was to work and maybe figure out how to earn money for not just myself, but everyone. So I grew up just kind of trying to find my own ways to desperately try to be like a youth, a child, or a teenager. I needed to find my own little escapes in the ways that I could. And not growing up in public school, you know, some might say I had to look in many other peculiar ways to get into trouble. So I had my own little weird coping mechanisms for sure.
And Tommy, tell us a little bit about, you know, your upbringing. You know, I want to work our way up to when the two of you met. And then there's that period of time. We all know that did read the book that between the time that you met and the time that you got married. So let's break it up that way and talk a little bit about your life before, you know, before she came into your life.
I guess for me, I have two brothers and grew up with my parents and a couple brothers. And then Linda was friends with my brother in high school, so I guess when we never met then somehow. And then years later,
which is crazy,
like early 20s, I had a party at my house, and she ended up showing up and was trying to hang out and whatever, and it didn't really work out. So that's how she kind of came in. But before that, I had, you know, a couple brothers, my parents, went to school, played sports, all the normal stuff. regular kind of upbringing. We traveled a lot and sailed and things like that. And then as I was meeting Linda, my parents were getting divorced and all of this tumultuous stuff kind of came together. And, you know, that kind of enters into the book stuff, I guess.
Yeah. So you at some point in time you began to develop an addiction issue.
Yeah. Bad one.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And Linda, you got married at some point in time before you married Tommy. Was it after you met Tommy that you got married or before?
So yes. That party that he mentioned, I came to that party with the guy that I ended up later marrying and then divorcing. So,
okay. Yeah. And you and your first husband had a child biologically, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. And then, so Tommy, tell me a little bit about, you know, what was going on with you when you and Linda, at some point in time, the two of you started to see each other a little bit more socially.
Yeah. What was going on with me, I guess, socially. Then?
Yeah.
So with me, I was,
socially.
I was 25, socially. I was 25 and didn't have any real responsibilities and was hanging out and partying and working and fishing and finding my way. And, then, like I said, my parents were getting divorced. My brothers, one was here, one was there. You know, I was getting to know, you know, our daughter then, and then Linda was pregnant. So everything just, I didn't deal with anything, you know, nowadays as I'm a little older and maybe a little wiser deal with it.
Yeah. If I could actually stress, I'm actually, another reason why it was really important to us to not, and we agreed to not be anonymous because we just felt that it wouldn't reach our community the way that we are hoping to. Mm. So, you know, in the book, there's, you know, again, we sat down and we talked for almost like 2 hours, Julie. I mean, me, you and Tommy, we really powwowed. And then I understand you have to take all of that information and you have to compile it into a chapter. So, you know, there's so much time in the chapter and it has obviously nothing to do with the writing or anything, but I'm saying that, you know, to make it fit into a book, there's so much time that's lost there.
Yes.
So, you know, when Tommy says that, you know, his parents were getting divorced and everything, when Tommy and I met, I mean, I came into the picture when mom and dad are literally physically leaving each other and I'm bringing in a child. I am going through the divorce as we meet each other, you know, start spending romantic time with each other. And then, you know, 3 months or so after we started hanging out socially, we found out that we had another, you know, another little social bug coming to the party.
Right. So you got pregnant. We can say that.
Yes, we got pregnant with our son. Mm-hmm.
All right.
And it was a lot for Tommy in that time.
Yeah.
When you had your son biologically, were the two of you living together at that point in time or no?
We weren't then.
Not when we found out that we were pregnant with him, but when we did find out that we were pregnant, Tommy's mother, my mother-in-law, she just sat down with me and kind of knew the stuff that was currently going on at home for me. And she just said, you know, you need to come and live here. So you went and lived with her. Yeah. So then that's when Tommy and I officially started living together. Yeah. We started out in his mom's very lovely basement.
Gotcha. Yeah. Gotcha. Now, but and before you got married 5 years ago, you had a lot of attempts at getting together and staying together and being a family together, right?
Yes.
So tell us about those and what happened, what went wrong before 2018 and you did get married.
Oh my goodness. I don't even know where to start.
Well, I'll start.
Okay. Yeah. Tommy's going to start. He's got it.
Sure.
So the attempt. So what did we, sorry, can you ask me a question one more time?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, before you got married in 2018, we know that there were other times that you were going to live together or stay together and not come apart. Whereas in fact, what we know from talking to you is that there were occasions that you did actually, whether it was a split or whether it was a breakup or whether it was time apart. Uh-huh. So I'm wondering what I think is going to be interesting for the folks to hear is, you know, what was going on in your lives that did not allow you to stay together during those periods of time?
Oh, well,
it's a pretty easy answer. Now that he can actually answer that pretty easily.
The problems were me. Mm-hmm. I mean, was the root of it. All the problems, and I'd be, you know, I'd get my act together for a little bit, and then I wouldn't, and then I'd start, and then I wouldn't, and then I'd be in jail, and then I wouldn't, and I'd, you know, she wouldn't put up with my mess, and she'd leave, yep. or, you know.
Right. So whatever. a lot of, you know, attempts to being together, but then a lot of trust and mistrust really through the relationship.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. So what really struck me about your story is how many times you guys really, you know, tried to mend things and stay together. And I give you both of you, a lot of credit.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I appreciate that.
And I'd like to, you know, like dig into that piece because I think that's so important. What would you say has allowed you, you know, over the years? This is, you know, you've been together and have known each other, whether you've been married or broken up or together or whatever. What do you think are the things that have helped, you know, keep you guys together?
So for me, I had the Tommy that is here right now is the Tommy that I always saw. So I think that was just maybe some good old fashioned blind perseverance, just my own belief in him. I will say sex plays a huge part of it. I want to be very transparent about that. Mm-hmm. And we were very transparent about that in our chapter. Mm-hmm. Sex has certainly been an anchor for us, and it has certainly been something that has saved us time and time again. Now, and I know with that, that's very controversial when I say that, because obviously you think about, well, when you get older and things change biologically and, you know, with age, well, what happens if and when that stops and you don't have that to anchor you and kind of bring you back in. So Tommy and I actually talk about that regularly.
Let me stop you for a second.
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. So you said it saved you a lot of times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What does that mean?
You want to take the definition on that one, or you want me?
I think it brought us back together and gave us that connection, mm-hmm. you know, another connection that mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. I stopped being an idiot and got my head out of my ass and was like, I got to do something about this if I want this woman and my kids. So that's what I did. But I think in the interims and stuff, you know, that was just something that we had, you know, connection in, and it, you know, brought us back together, like kind of a reminder, maybe like, oh, well, maybe it's,
yeah,
you know,
it was
worth fighting for.
It was always the area where there was never any complication. There was never any issue. And for me, and this is where ladies give me some kind of, you know, side eyes. For me, I have always been able to separate the act of sex from emotion. Mm-hmm. So for me, if what I'm looking for from Tommy in that moment, no matter how upset I am with him, if what I'm looking for is just for the world to slow down and just for me to feel wrapped up and to feel loved mm-hmm. and in that moment, mm-hmm. that's what's happening, then I don't hear and focus on all the other noise. Mm-hmm. So, it helps that it's really, truly incredible sex. That helps a lot.
That's awesome.
Because we hear a lot about how, you know, many people can't, you know, if you're having a difficult time with your partner, mm-hmm. you're arguing, you're not happy with them, you, whatever the case may be, they just don't want to have sex because it turns them off to, because of all the other stuff that's going on. What you're saying is completely different for you.
Right. And right? I acknowledge that completely. And
it's a bad thing. I think it's very cool. I mean, I think it's very different. And it's interesting. It really is. Yeah. I mean, so, he could have done something that just really rubbed you the wrong way and pissed you off, made you angry, but that doesn't, but you were able to sort of say, okay, well,
I'd be like, all right, let's go. Bend me over.
Okay, then. Perfect.
Yeah, I love that. And I think that we're talking. Sorry.
No problem.
That's fine. And
it's the first time anyone said bend me over on our podcast. It was going to be 8 episodes.
I love that. Yeah. So, and listen, we talked to a sex therapist, and she talked about different responses to some coffee.
That was a great episode. Love that episode.
Whoops. I'll be right
back. Okay, so she'll be right back. She's gonna get a glass of water. So we'll keep taping while she's anytime we talk about sex therapy, she has to run and go get a glass of water. But I do. And so Tommy, let me ask you this question. Did that kind of surprise you?
Yeah, I would say it did. Luckily, it's not. I don't think it's like fighting turns us on necessarily. But like you said, I think it's that we can separate that out or say, well, you know, it's just a different connection. But yeah, it was definitely weird. I don't know. I tell her it's like less.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm going to assume for the purposes of discussion, you know, you've been with, you had other women in your life, you know, before this one came along. Or even after you met her. And I'm going to also assume that there are occasions when you and those people that you dated or saw, you were not happy with each other. And I'm going to guess that you didn't have sex when they were angry at you.
I would say you'd guess correctly. Yeah.
So I mean, I find that to me, not just unique.
You're
good? You're back?
Okay. No, I agree. And what I wanted to say is that a lot of people have to be emotionally, and I'm going to generalize and say women, have to be emotionally feel connected and seen to be able to do the physical part, the sexual part. And so I think that's probably a little bit about what we're talking about. And you're able to feel differently about it. You're able to see the sexual part as a connector. And in fact, you find that it helps bring the emotional connection.
For sure. I mean, speaking for me, at least when we're having Tommy and I, actually, I mean, he'll agree, but Tommy and I our marriage is better, healthier when we are having more frequent sex. Okay. So, the arguing is less. And I will find that if we're having an argument or we're having a particular situation where we just kind of are stuck and can't get past it, well, it's kind of like we have sex and it almost like kind of refocuses. And then sometimes we can come back to it, or sometimes we realize it's absolutely not worth coming back to. So it also adds, it also helps with perspective.
Yeah.
I don't know how that works.
No. Well, I think what we're talking about, cause we talk a lot about this, is that when you're connecting sexually, that there's is sort of like a lubrication in the relationship and the small little things, and we can double entendre is lubrication, but the small things aren't as creaky, if you will, if you're, you know, connecting in an intimate way sexually, or even just, you know, having good conversations. So I think you are correct, is that there's, you know, that what sex does for your relationship is makes things smoother and the little things may not be as difficult.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a joke, but it's not really a joke. I say, you know, if I put 100 people in a room who all say they want to get divorced, all 100 are ready to get divorced. And I say to them, how many of you are having healthy sexual relationship with your significant other? I will guarantee you none of their hands go up. Because although it's not the most important thing, I think and we've talked about this many times in different ways, it's certainly a component, but you also had another piece that brought you closer together. And I want to talk a little bit about that too. And that's this issue that you spoke of relative to faith.
Yeah.
So tell us about that.
I'll start again.
Okay.
So.
Yeah.
I guess because it kind of ties into my, you know, coming out of the other stuff and getting us back together. Absolutely. So when I, you know, finally decided I really need to do something about this after getting in, you know, trouble with the law yet again, I ended up in a sober living house that was involved with the church in our town. And it was just very interesting how that all kind of just fell into place without me really looking for it. I mean, I always grew up, well, I grew up in the Catholic church. This was a different church, but I went there. And at the time, Linda was like, oh, I'm done with you. You're an idiot and I'm done. But, you know, within a month or two, you know, she still was telling me you're never going to change and whatever, but I convinced her to go to church. So that's still our church now, which has been definitely a big part of, you know, our hopefully continued success.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's something that you and your kids enjoy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. Okay. Absolutely. It's.
And during those difficult times, and I'm talking not about the time when you told him to bend you over, but on other times, The church and the faith also helped sort of soothe those same wounds, right? In a lot of ways.
Yeah. I would say differently. So.
I mean, I think so, because we, in that whole time, we were learning how to deal with things differently. Mm-hmm. Especially me, because I was always just have a drink, do a pill, do something and ignore it and it'll go away, which it doesn't until you deal with it. But that's another deal. Yeah. But yeah, I think it gave us that, like she said, the thing that was missing. And, you know, now, you know, I think what helps also to, you know, want to still, you know, spend intimate time with each other is that our fights are way less of a big deal. Mm-hmm. A lot of time now it's like stupid nonsense that we really shouldn't fight about. And eventually we recognize this is stupid.
Yeah.
And we kind of, you know, that helps to figure it out too, when you're not dealing with drug addiction and jail and stealing and, you know, talking to different people you shouldn't be and whatever. It's amazing what happens with that too.
Yeah.
So what would you say to a couple that, you know, is going through, you know, there's lots of people that are dealing with addiction issues. And I think that's a really, you know, whether we talk about it or not, a really big deal for people, whether it's an addiction to alcohol or drugs or gambling. There's a lot of addictions. What would you say as a couple, some advice that you would give to people that are struggling with, you know, a partner or maybe both partners dealing with addictions?
Did you have something?
Did you? Because if you did, you can go first. It's okay. go for it, babe.
I mean, I would say it's been commitments. And honoring your little commitments to yourself and other people. Mm-hmm. So when you put all these little pieces together, then it works. So if you just, you know, do, it's so cliche, but you do the little next right thing. But I think it's just being committed to each other, being committed to sobriety. And, you know, she decided to give me, you know, one last shot. She decided, hey, you know, I shouldn't be doing this stuff either. So then we are committed to that together and, you know, committed to figuring it out. And, you know, we, I think both saw what our future could be, but didn't know how to get there.
I think an important part to that, and piggybacking off of what Tommy said, is that, you know, deciding not to do that, because I have had many conversations with young women about that specifically. And well, the question I often get met with is, well, don't you end up resenting him because you're not the one with the problem? And well, we can talk about my problems until the sun comes up if you want to. But that was still, even though Tommy might have been the inspiring force, so to speak, it was still my decision. It wasn't something I was going to resent him for, because it was my decision. Because in the same breath of Tommy deciding to get clean and sober for his family, I had to decide that I was going to be on board with whatever that looked like. So I personally didn't feel that Tommy was going to reach his success if I was coming home smelling like wine from the girls, or if I was giving him a kiss goodnight and I had vodka on my breath. I just didn't think that that was going to plant the seeds of fruitfulness for him. So that would be, and my point to that is, that would be a piece of advice that I would give to the young women who are perhaps in love with a man who is struggling. You know, it's hard when you're married. It's hard when you're divorced. It's hard when you're single. You know, you got to pick your hard. Is this guy your end game? I can tell you honestly, for me, I didn't see a future without Tommy. How was that going to play out? I did not know. But I knew that I was willing to walk out that journey with him when he was able to see his own potential. So my advice to the young women are, you know, does your guy see his own potential?
No.
Because you can see it all you want. But that's why I had to walk away, because he couldn't see it. Can he see his own potential? Pray for your guy, support him, but ultimately understand that in order for him to be successful, you have to walk away from some of the pleasures of your world, because now it's our world.
Now, one of the things that you said, and I wanted to make sure I asked you about this before we finished up tonight, is that you said that you described your relationship with Tommy as two canvases. Remember that?
I feel like I vaguely remember saying that. Yes,
well, I do. I remember because I thought
yes it was to very, Julie. Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. I thought it was very insightful. And but I'd like to know, you know, from the two of you, you know, what that kind of means.
So could you possibly use it in a sentence? could you tell me the context?
You said when during the interview that you looked at your relationship with Tommy as two canvases. So that was the sentence you used. So.
Well, I think what you meant, sort of like a mess, Tommy. Mm-hmm. You know, the using Tommy, the mm-hmm. not doing the things that you would be proud of, Tommy, and then mm-hmm. this other Tommy. And I think that yes. that sort of image came out. You yes. know, I think you described this at your wedding almost like there was two different Tommies, and that you were now entering into a marriage with this great Tommy, this
yeah.
one that was believing in himself and sober and clean and being a dad.
Yeah. So it was two different lives, two different types of lives together. Sort of what I drew from it was,
yeah.
was the one where the two of you were really struggling to find your way.
Yeah.
And then the other that we're looking at now where you are. I mean, we all struggle to find our way all the time.
Yeah.
But you're on a path together and you've paved it with success to get here. So yes. so that's kind of how I saw it. I thought it was very
yeah.
cool.
Yeah.
That's why I raised it.
Yeah. I mean, I would imagine that now looking back and that my interpretation of that as well as kind of what Julie was saying is, you know, you could even say maybe Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. There are definitely two different Tommies to this story. I was in love with both of them. And, you know, I have to say that if I had to actually physically have these canvases in front of me, I'd still put them both up in my house because they're both worth looking at and they're both worth, you know, admiring, because from one canvas to another, it's just, it's two totally different lives. And it's hard because sometimes I'm so far removed from it now that all I can do is really remember a feeling. And it's kind of crazy to say, oh my gosh, you're like, you're alive. you're here. You're healthy. Yeah. I never got that phone yeah. call. Praise God.
Yeah.
We tuck our kids in at night. You know, we're talking, he's going to a tournament with our daughter here soon. And I said to him, I said, it's still kind of like waking up sometimes and feeling like I won the lottery. I just can't believe that we actually got here. So
that's great. That's awesome. Great. Awesome. Well, I wanted to say to you, cause I think it's important for both of you to hear this is, you know, we do a lot of couples work together. We do relationship work together. And, you know, some people even say we're relationship experts. However, when I sit here with you guys, I've really honestly, and I mean this, have learned a lot. And as a family therapist, as a couples therapist, I'm going to be keeping in mind that for you guys, sex has been, and faith has been something that has bonded you. And that mm-hmm. maybe we need to think about things a little bit differently in mm-hmm. in the couples work that we do. And maybe I'll even be promoting, if you're upset with your partner, go have sex and see if it changes things.
Just try it.
And I just want you to both know that I've learned so much from you and your openness and it's cool. And thank you so much for sharing.
Well, thank you for having us.
Thank you guys. Yeah, it's been great having you.
Yeah. And I would say you are definitely relationship experts. I'm just an expert being married to Tommy.
You got both sides of it.
I'm just an expert at being married to Tommy. I'm not a relationship expert.
No, this was terrific. We thank you so much for opening yourselves up in our book and then reopening things back up today.
Yeah.
This is Conversations for Couples, the podcast, folks. You can find us on all social media platforms, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, LinkedIn, TikTok. Did I miss anything? At the Bullits, TheBullitts. We will see you
later.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Take care.
Bye.
Julie Bullitt is a professionally licensed clinical social worker and family therapist. David Bullitt is a divorce and family lawyer. Julie is not your therapist, and David is not your lawyer. This podcast is meant for educational and entertainment purposes only.